All right, well, it's good to be with you again. And man, we're already in the middle of September, approaching our great kickoff service next week. I hope you're going to be able to attend that. And we will start off our ministry year in grand occasion, and we're so looking forward to that. But before we do that, we want to take this service to commission some of our appointed leaders into ministry. And so we want to spend some time commissioning them and blessing them for the work of ministry. Before we do that, however, I want to tell you a story that has inspired me to minister with single devotion, with that kind of singleness of heart that reflects a passion for God. It's a story about a man named Steve. And Steve, I'm sorry to say, was always a bit of an oddball in most people's eyes. But he was an outsider as far as the church was concerned, because he was a convert, and which isn't bad, of course. Everybody would agree to that, of course. But he was still regarded with a bit of suspicion. You see, the thing about Steve was that you couldn't help notice him. Maybe it was because he was a convert and being saved was still so fresh in his mind, like some spectacular rescue. But he was always able to connect everything to God's presence. And he was always thinking of connections of God's activity in the world and our activity in the world. And sometimes you would think, well, that's just kind of weird. I mean, he had a keen eye, nevertheless, for God's finger of grace in his own life and in other people's lives. But for instance, one time he pointed out, he said he was walking through the forest and heard two branches click. And he said, and you know, I heard God's footsteps in the forest. I mean, it's just a little weird. But another time, Steve went to visit a paraplegic. And, well, the church had helped out this person several times, actually, with food and rides and things like that, but nothing ever really became of it. Person was, well, not very pleasant to be around, pretty bitter towards other people, never went out, never showed appreciation for what we did. And, well, it kind of set people on edge. Some even were just mad about it. But Steve just kept on visiting this person. And Steve's not even that friendly. At least, not very easy to talk to. I mean, at church, you couldn't just talk to Steve about the weather and sports and family and all that kind of stuff. He wasn't into small talk. But Steve visited this person constantly, and the next thing we know, they're friends. And we would see a wheelchair more often in church. People joked for a while that Steve was the church's faith healer, but I think they were a little serious too, because the next thing I knew, they had appointed him to be deacon. So that's when trouble really began. And it's really too bad. You see, Steve was, well, as I said, he was peculiar. And it wasn't that he went off and just did his own thing. He took his role of deacon very seriously. And he wanted to do as good a job as possible. But that was the problem. He was, they said, overly ambitious. And, well, maybe he did get carried away once in a while. The thing was, I think Steve just wasn't satisfied with the status quo. It wasn't that he was out to change anything necessarily. He was just so ambitious that everything he did was different than what people were used to. And he would go out, he'd look for people to help. He'd bring into the church all kinds of strange situations that we simply weren't used to dealing with. People were coming into the church from all different walks of life on account of Stephen's work. And quite frankly, well, it made all of us somewhat uncomfortable. I mean, these people just weren't like us. The other thing, of course, was that, quite frankly, it was just costing the church a lot of money to have Steve as a deacon. I mean, he wasn't even just doing deacon work. He was apparently doing some preaching on the side as well. And that wasn't, that was just, well, that was too far out for some of the big wheels in the church. So, well, they finally called him on the carpet after a lot of stirring up among some of the other members. Thing was, his speech was amazingly eloquent. I mean, it went far beyond any of the accusations that they made against him. When Stephen spoke, I mean, he drew in the message of the gospel from the beginning of the Bible all the way through to the end and into our very time. It was amazing. I mean, he drew in Abraham. He drew in Jacob. He drew in the prophets. He drew in Jesus' birth. And all of it. It was like a new revelation. And then, at the very end of his speech, when he was talking about how God had sent deliverers all along throughout history to deliver his people, and then he spoke of Jesus being the final deliverer, and then he said, and he pointed his finger right at his accusers and said, "You are the ones who reject God's deliverer." Well, you can imagine that was too much. And then I think you know the rest of the story because you know this man too. From Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 8. "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they couldn't stand up against the wisdom the Spirit had given Stephen as he spoke. And then they secretly persuaded some men to say, 'We've heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And so they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law, and they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. And they produced false witnesses who testified, 'This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law,' they said, 'for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us.' And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Stephen was one of the first leaders of the church, and he served the church as a deacon. But he's known still today because his one holy passion was revealed most dramatically through his death. He was the first recorded martyr for Christian faith. They ended up stoning Stephen for what they thought was blasphemy. But his one holy passion was seen in his extraordinary mission. The way that he fulfilled his purpose, his calling to serve the church of Jesus, a man full of God's grace, a man full of God's Spirit, a man who changed the church around and who turned the synagogue upside down, a man who laid down his life for what he believed. And that story is still real today. People who serve the church with one holy passion for revealing Jesus Christ. A kind of passion, a passion like Stephen's. It isn't just a desire to accomplish great things for God. That's not the contents of the passion. But rather, it's a holy passion that sees beyond what we merely do to the things that God is doing. It's an inner strength that moves us entirely past ourselves towards a full awareness of living in the presence of God and in the mission of God. And that's what we're doing here today, to co-mission with God in the work of ministry, to declare the kingdom of God. These leaders that we're commissioning today are chosen for their maturity to oversee the life of the church, mindful of what Jesus said when some of his disciples were so eager to have a place at the head of Jesus' ministry. They wanted to make a name for themselves, and Jesus reminds them, admonishes them even, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so we're going to commission our leaders that we've newly appointed to ministry. And I'm going to ask Sam and Janessa to come up front, and which is exciting for me. This is the first time in 6 months that I've actually had someone else on stage with me as I've preached a message. And so in that sense, welcome, you guys. It's great to have someone else here. But we are commissioning, first of all, Sam and Janessa today. And we want to extend a warm welcome to Sam Visser. Thank you for being here. And we're so glad that Sam has accepted the position of Associate for Faith Formation Ministries. And she will be leading us in children's ministries and in GEMS, and also helping out with women's ministries. Sam has also been instrumental. She came on just before the whole COVID pandemic and has been a tremendous help in making sure that you get a decent shot of me when I'm preaching here. And so she's helped out amazingly with that, and that's been wonderful. So welcome, Sam. And we bless you in the work of ministry that you are carrying on with here at New Life. Thanks. And then we're also commissioning Janessa Gritter. And we're so glad to have Janessa here after a long search for a worship pastor. We've hired Janessa to be our worship pastor intern, and we're so glad to have her. She's going to be leading our worship ministries. And recently also, during our search for a youth pastor that is still outstanding, Janessa's also going to fill in to co-lead youth ministries with Pastor Mike. And so we're so glad to have you. Bless you in your ministry here. And we hope that you find much joy in it. And we're eager to be able to work together in ministry. We're also commissioning a new board member. And the duties of board members is the overall governance of the church and to ensure that the church stays on track with our vision and mission of New Life Church. The members of the board are Eric Hugenrad, Karen Thiessen, Carl Dracht, Diane Kampman, Heidi Van Wielden, and today we're commissioning Bernie Heising to the board. He has been appointed by the board, and at the end of the month at our New Life Live congregational meeting, then you will have opportunity to vote on his appointment. And so we commission Bernie Heising to the Board of Elders, and he'll be replacing Stu Baker, who has faithfully fulfilled his term. And we're so grateful for the work that Stu has done. Thank you, Stu, for your faithful service. We're also appointing new elders today. And the care elders consist of a group of pastoral elders who are responsible for critical care and visitation, especially among people who are not in life groups. And then we have life group elders who oversee our system of care through our small groups ministry led by Pastor Justin Dudney. And the pastoral elders are Albert Kampman, Hank Hock, Krista Bransma, Heidi Siebinga, and Jeff Strading, who is on leave. We continue to uphold him in prayer as he recovers from his bone marrow transplant. The Life Group elders are Nat Dykstra, Terry Kingma, Jackie Sutton, Nate Thiessen, and Mark Westwood. And today we are commissioning two new Life Group elders, Steve Bransma and Lisa Hugenrad. And we also want to give thanks for the faithful service and for the completion of their terms of Rachel Vandenberg and Shannon Veneman, who were wonderful parts of our Life Group Elders team and have served faithfully their terms of office there. And then we're also commissioning a new deacon. The deacons minister in a confidential manner and provide counsel and support for people who are find themselves in physical or financial difficulty. And so the deacons oversee the distribution of funds from the benevolent funds and also assist in providing tuition assistance for families who wish to send their children to Christian school. The deacons are Adam Van Egmond, Tammy Van Boven, Yolanda Aperlou, Angela Gruthoff, and Ed Isinga. And we are commissioning Mark Heidelberg to the role of deacon. And thanks to Brian Dieleman, who served on the diaconate for his term and faithfully completed that. Thank you for all of the work that Brian has done on behalf of the deacons. And so for all of you, Sam and Janessa, for the elders, for the deacons that we are appointing to office today, we charge you to do the work of ministry to which you have been called and to do it faithfully. We charge you to continually submit to Christ, the head of the church, and to prayerfully support the vision and the mission of New Life Church. And we bless you as we commission you to participate in ministry here. And then congregation, you too, you are also called to support these leaders as they serve you in their roles. And so if you'll say these words to me that will be printed on the screen, we'll say it together. Lord, help me to submit to their leadership. Help me to accept their help with thanks. Help me to pray for them as they administer God's love and to encourage them with my support. So, in this work of commissioning, we bless these people to faithfully serve our God. Let's pray together. Our merciful Father in heaven, thank you that you've provided faithful and gifted people to serve as leaders here at New Life Church. And Father, we pray that as these people assume their responsibilities, that you'll fill them with your Spirit, that you'll equip them with wisdom and give them strength to carry on their tasks day by day. And so, Father, we pray, too, that you will make them faithful workers in your vineyard. Under their guidance, may our church grow in every spiritual grace. May it grow in faith, which is open and unashamed. May it grow in the committed service that promotes your reign, your rule in this world. And so, Father, we pray, too, that you will help them to perform their duties with a sense of enthusiasm, with humility, with a willingness to submit to you in all things, with one holy passion, we pray. And in their work, Father, give them a sense of awe, a sense of worship, that as they do their work, that they worship you and you alone. And through them, may your name be honored. May your church be served. And help us all, Father, to accept them gladly, to encourage them, to respect them for the sake of your precious Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, go into this week, and congregation, I want to send you out also on this mission for God, because all of us are servants of Christ. And so I bless you with the words from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, now and forevermore. Amen.